In today's readings, we witness God's power over creation in a dramatic fashion. While God has total control over his creation, he sometimes demonstrates that power in more subtle ways. A number of years ago, I helped lead a 10-day, 120-mile trek at the Philmont Scout Reservation in the Sangre de Cristo Mountains of northern New Mexico. Among the goals of this adventure was to develop the leadership skills of the 8 teenagers, including our son John. Midway through the trek, the scouts wanted to watch a sunrise from the top of Mount Baldy, a 12,441-foot-high peak. And so they meticulously planned that hike that required our contingent to arise just after midnight and hike over 5 miles of steep mountain trail, which would rise about 4,000 feet in elevation. Unfortunately, a trail which can be easily seen in the daylight when the sun is coming in from above can be very hard to identify when lighted solely by flashlights. The short of it is, we couldn't find the trail. We got lost. So by necessity, we had to alter our plan. Knowing the compass heading toward which we need to go to get to the peak, we did what is known as bushwhacking. We walked not on a trail, because we couldn't find it, but straight line to the up the forested mountain. That was slow and laborious hiking, and painful too, due to the scratches from plowing through the underbrush. Eventually, we popped out of the tree line just before sunrise. However, with the top of the mountain in sight, we had another misfortune. One of our boys had a severe asthma attack that turned life-threatening. But we were able to use our first aid skills, and with the assistance of many good Samaritans and much prayer, we were safely able to get Jack off the mountain. However, we never did reach the top of Old Baldy. This was one of many lessons in my life where I learned that the old maxim is true. If you want to make God laugh, tell him about your plans. In today's first reading, we hear of Job, a good and prosperous family man whose life also didn't go as he had planned. In the midst of his prosperity, Job is suddenly beset with horrendous disasters that take away all he holds dear: his family, his wealth, and even his health. These calamities are intended to test Job's faith in God. Struggling mightily to understand his situation, Job reflects in his despair, but consistently remains devout and faithful, trusting in the will of God. Eventually, Job is rewarded by God for his unwavering faith with another large family, great wealth, and life to a very old age. In today's gospel, we hear of the apostles traveling to the east shore of the Sea of Galilee after a long day listening to Jesus preach. In fact, this reading begins where last week's gospel ends, with the parable of the mustard seed. Suddenly, the apostles find themselves in the midst of a violent squall and in fear of their lives. All the while, Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. But upon waking, Jesus rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Quiet, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. In a more literal translation of the Greek in Mark's gospel, the apostles' response was that they feared a great fear. Their initial fear of the storm was transformed into a fear at the display of divine power, a fear of God. Today's passage ends with Jesus admonishing them for their lack of faith, their lack of trust in him. We all face stormy times in our lives when God's presence is hard to perceive. One of the most common struggles in the spiritual life is a feeling of God's absence during painful times. It may surprise you to know that even the saints experience such fear of abandonment. Saint John of the Cross, Mother Teresa of Calcutta, and Saint Therese of Lisieux, among others, experienced that dark night of the soul. Why is this then so common? Perhaps because when we're struggling, we tend to become afraid and focus on whatever pain we're experiencing. It's natural, it's human. However, focusing on that pain makes it more difficult to see where God might be at work elsewhere in our lives. As a result, our prayer life, our open channel of communication with God, simply evaporates, and as a result, we turn further away from God in a terrible, vicious spiral, sinking into feelings of hopelessness. Yet, when we honestly share our feelings with God through prayer, the physical pain we may be experiencing may not go away, but that honest prayer helps us reestablish the open relationship with God and allows us to focus not on the fear of what God can't do, but rather on those areas in our lives where God is with us. Fear in our spiritual life is our true enemy. Throughout Scripture, we're warned against fear in the spiritual life. The telling of Jesus' earthly life is bracketed by warnings against fear. The angel Gabriel at the Annunciation told Mary, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." While the angel announcing Jesus' resurrection to the women at the tomb said, "Do not be afraid." In fact, that statement, "Do not be afraid," is arguably the most often repeated phrase in the Bible. Jesus doesn't want us to fear because God loves us. His presence provides us with his peace, not fear. And our ways are not God's ways. Just because we may not understand, we shouldn't be frightened. Job maintained his faith and trust in God despite losing everything he held dear. At the Annunciation, Mary couldn't tell what the future would hold, but she was empowered with God's grace to fear not. While immediately after the resurrection, the apostles didn't understand what was occurring, they were really confused. But they overcome their fears, and through faith and the gift of the Holy Spirit, they trusted in Jesus. So I ask you, how are you doing? If I were to ask you that question today, how would you respond? When your life doesn't go as planned, are you willing to yield to God's will? Or will you tenaciously hold on to your own plans and allow God to have a good laugh?